Akaroho is a Greek word that means to rob of authority, to rob of force, probably better translated. When you allow someone to rob the Word of God of force, you're a loser. And that's what traditions of men will do for you. They will rob you of the force of God in your life. And he has warned over and over. That's the topic we're going to pick for. And at the same time, we're going to use the opposite of that word is to say ruho, which is to say to invalidate. These are legal terms in the Greek language, and they are very direct and very specific. Traditions of men, many times people say, well, you want the traditions of God is what you want in your life, okay? Traditions of men make void the Word of God. In what way? Let's take an example, one we're all familiar with. Let's take the rapture doctrine. It's not in the Word of God. And when you teach a group of people that they don't have to understand Revelation, you're going to be gone. It's sealed where you can't understand it anyway, regardless of the fact that Revelation means to reveal, to make known. And God intends that you should know it. But it puts you totally off guard. You have allowed a human being to tell you God's Word doesn't mean anything to you. Well, if you're a servant of God, that's taken a pretty big step. I mean, that's why you want to be familiar with your Father's Word, and you want to be familiar with it chapter by chapter and verse by verse. That is to say, to have a working knowledge of it. Okay. So open your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter 15. Let's go where we can find this Greek word, akaroho, utilized by Christ himself, whereby we can come perhaps to a better understanding. Do not let someone rob of force the Word of God. Do you know why? If you don't have God's force in your life, you don't have somebody to kick the rocks out of the road for you. You don't have somebody to bless you. In other words, if you remove the force of God from your life, you're on your own. And inasmuch as Satan is the prince of the air, in this earth age, if you don't have authority over him through that force of God, given by Almighty God in the name of Christ, then you're hurting a bunch. So, Matthew chapter 15, verse 1, let's pick it up, let's see what Jesus has to say about this subject. Verse 1 reads, "Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying," now these boys are from right downtown, you understand? I mean, you got scripture lawyers here that claim to know the Word inside out. Verse 2, "Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." Now, what did that say? You got to learn to pick up on everything. It didn't say traditions of God, did it? No, that's not what they said. They said, "Why are you violating the traditions of the elders? You know, this good elder says this, and then on the other hand, this good elder says that." Have you ever asked yourself, what does God say about it? That's what's important. And that's the point Jesus is about to make here. Is when they speak of washing, you understand this is not just washing your hands like you always do before you eat. That was going through the ritual of a little sprinkle behind the elbow here, over your shoulder and there, and just really make a ritual out of it, okay, that is absolutely meaningless, has nothing to do with God's Word. A bunch of acts put forth by man to make you look holy. Verse 3, it's what Christ answered. "And he answered and said unto them, Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition?" I mean, that's not in God's Word. God's Word is against it. Therefore, why? Why do you transgress the commandment of God by your commandments of the elders? The point being, listen to God, don't listen to man. This man or any other man, without checking them out in the Word of God to see what traditions are followed. Verse 4, for God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father and mother, let him die the death. That is a commandment. Now, and of course, this has to do with financial support for mother and father, is what Jesus is going to be talking about, that they're cared for in that way. He said, that's the commandment God says. And ultimately, he's going to say here, what do you elders say about it, okay? Verse 5, but you say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me. Now this misses a lot in the translation. The Greek word gift is korban. Okay. And korban means in the Greek tongue, if you're giving it to the church, let mommy and daddy starve. It's okay because you're giving it to God. Okay? Got that? In other words, that's not what God said. That's what they're saying. As long as it's to the church, the preacher says, we're fine. We can let mom and daddy do that. They're not important. Well, that's sure not what God said. You got it? And you know something? This is how you can remove God's authority from your life. And that's what he's telling, the power of force of God. Okay? And verse 6, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. That's what they tell him. Thus have you made the commandments of God of none effect by your tradition. And there's the word I'm talking about. Of none effect. Just void. This removes the force of God. That's what the word means. And by removing the force of God, where do you think that leaves you? It leaves you up the river without a paddle, friend. You're on your own, in other words. Verse 7, ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, verse 8, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. They say they're Christian. They talk a mean Bible. They claim to be Bible scholars and students of the Word of God. But what they teach in their traditions is far removed from what I have taught you. That's what God is saying in the book of Isaiah. He said, I've taught you to do right. I've taught you to act right and to do what my commandments say. And when you start listening to people that make void, such as the example we led with, what does it mean? If you were to listen and never go into the book of Revelation, and you knew nothing of the spurious Messiah coming, that's to say the false Christ, you knew nothing of God saying, he will come first. Not maybe, not perhaps. He shall come first to deceive the world if it was possible. Now, if you've been trained by traditions of men, that you don't have to worry about that because you're going to be gone. That's not what you put the gospel armor on for. The gospel armor does not include a set of wings. Got that? No jetpacks, no set of wings. It is articles of battle. And a battle to be fought against the false Messiah. So you can see within that how far off guard traditions of man can throw you if you listen to men rather than reading God's Word, being prepared, knowing what the gospel armor is for, what it's about, and what you put it on for. Quite frankly, I like the girt. That's your belt. You know what your belt does? It holds up your britches. And do you know what it symbolizes? The Word of God, the Word of truth. It'll hold your britches up. In other words, it'll prepare you for whatever you're going to face. But you start listening to a bunch of yo-yos, that's somebody who runs up and down a string of men's traditions. You see, this is where, and you've heard me teach against the law of precedent, which is what our judges rule by today. not what God's Word says or what our Constitution says, but by what some court decided here or some court decided there. That's elders. That's what they say, not what God says. In the pure, simple truth and in the simplicity in which He brings it forth, making life not complicated, but understandable and complete by listening to your Father and not man. How precious it is. He said, what He said here, what Jesus said, your elders say if it's If it's Corban, which is a Greek word, not a Hebrew word, it's okay. You can let mommy and daddy do without, as long as you give it to us. They don't even say as long as you give it to God. They might say that. They have it in their mouth. That's what they would say in the great book of Isaiah. You talk a big, mean battle for God, but your heart's not in it. That's not what you... All you talk about is elders and their traditions. So Jesus didn't mince words, you know. The sweet Jesus said, you're a bunch of hypocrites when you listen to men instead of me, instead of my Father. Okay? And He made it real clear. That's emphatic. Verse 9, but in vain they do worship me. Doesn't do them any good. It's empty. Teaching for doctrines the commandments of men, not the commandments of God. That's what's important, beloved. And this is why, you know, it's dangerous when you go to a church and people come and say, oh, wasn't that a wonderful sermon the preacher gave? Well, what did he say? Well, I don't know. But it was wonderful, wasn't it? It just really lifted you. Did he read any of God's Word? That's what church is for. What did you learn from the Father's Word? Or were you listening to traditions? You see, playing church can be a very dangerous thing. Christianity is not a religion, it's a reality. We got a poor high school student in trouble with that statement. He and his teacher said it was a religion. He said, oh no, teacher, it's a way of life. He about got in trouble. Anyway, the boy was right. It's a reality. And when you follow it, you will be blessed. Why? Back to the Greek word. God's Word will be a force in your life. You won't be robbed of it. Don't let yourself be robbed by lies. Don't let yourself be robbed by being misled in traditions of man rather than following the Word of God. It is a very, very serious thing, as Jesus has stated. Don't follow the commandments of men. Verse 10, and He called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. I want you to get this real good. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Now, did He say that which comes out the mouth defileth a man? No, He said the mouth. It's what a man says. It's what a man teaches. That's what can do damage. That's what can defile. Verse 12. Then came His disciples and said unto Him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? Do you think that worried the Lord Jesus Christ? He said, you hypocrites! Well, that can offend them. That's not politically correct. Who cares? If it's traditions of men and if it is wrong, they're a bunch of hypocrites. Period. Okay? No more need be said about it. Stick to the truth, stick to Christ's teachings, do it His way. That is not to say that you cannot be polite. But if the truth offends somebody, did God say you should be burdened by that? Not one place in God's Word does it say you should be burdened by the truth offending somebody. I'm sure He even smiled about it, perhaps. Verse 13, what did He say about it? And He answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. That's to say, as the giants, the hybrids, that brought about the flood of Noah, rooted out. The tares that do not belong among the wheat, rooted out. In other words, even the doctrine that Christ has taught, all other doctrines will die. They will be rooted out because God will not tolerate it. And the truth will set you free. We live in the end generation. And it's a generation where they're going to try for you, my friend. And I suppose that's why I'm picking this subject for today. You want to be ready. You want to be on guard. You want to know the difference between truth and fiction. Because it is the truth of God's Word that sets you free. And it's Satan's lies that will rob, steal, and bring death to you. Always remember that. Don't be an easy mark for Satan. Stay in the Word of God. Verse 14. Shall be rooted up. 14, let them alone, they be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. That's a sad connotation for them. But there's nothing you can do about it if they choose that route. Sorry. That doesn't mean you shouldn't still seed plant. That doesn't mean you shouldn't teach. That doesn't mean you shouldn't lead when you have an opportunity to plant a word of truth or to instruct. But it's up to them to listen. And if they don't listen, hey, what he's saying here, I don't care that they were offended. That's their problem, okay? Let them fall in the ditch if they choose. But you see, God always gives man that choice. Do you see how that love is within that? Some people may have trouble seeing that. God loves his children enough that he will let them have their own will. If their own will is to follow a blind leader, then let them lead on. And let them both fall in the ditch. That's okay. That's what this earth age is about, is proving who listens to God's commandments and traditions or man's. It's up to man. Your choice. 15. Then answered Peter, and he said unto him, declare unto us this parable. He still doesn't quite get it. Isn't that amazing? 16. And Jesus said, are ye also yet without understanding? You don't get it? 17. Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draw? 18. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, your mind, and they defile the man. That's where he trips himself up. That's why as a Christian, you can talk to someone about 5 minutes and you form a pretty good opinion of where they're coming from. Doesn't take long to discern spirits. 19. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulterers, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. They're answering the question. But understand again, that's unwashed hands without the ritual, okay? Man's ritual, not God's, okay? That's a big difference. Many people will say, well, that's talking about baptism. Well, it was kind of a brush off of what they would have called baptism and washing, but not Christian baptism. Okay, don't ever let anyone sell you that. What Christ is talking about is exactly what he said. It's what comes from a man's heart or a woman's heart that counts. If it's God's word, it's beautiful. If it's the love of God, it's beautiful. But if it's traditions of men, it's false. And that, therefore, in other words, I'll rephrase that. Always let God's law override man's traditions or you're in trouble. Okay, big trouble. Do you know where Jesus was quoting from in Isaiah there? I think it's very important. That's why he never quoted the Old Testament without a cause. And what he's doing, he's going back to Isaiah 29. Let's go there for a moment if we may. Isaiah chapter 29 in the Old Testament. And Isaiah 29 in verse 1, we're going to start a little further down, but let's pick up the subject so we understand what our subject is. Woe to Ariel, the city which David dwelt, where David dwelt. Add ye year to year, let them kill sacrifices. Ariel in the Hebrew tongue is the Lion of God. Okay. Now, do I have to tell anybody who the Lion of God is? It's Christ. Okay. This is Christ's name, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, before he was born to Mary, even. This is in prophecy speaking forward to it. That's what the word means in the Hebrew tongue, Lion of God. There's really only one. And now, if we could, let's drop down to verse 4. Pick it up. Let's pick it up in verse 4. And remember what Christ said. These people talk a mean battle of religion, but they're a bunch of fakes, okay? They claim to be goody-goody two-shoesers. But I'm not with them. They've made void the word of God. Okay, verse 4 reads, And thou shalt be brought down, and shalt speak out of the ground, and thy speech shall be low out of the dust, and thy voice shall be as of one that hath a familiar spirit, that means demon-possessed, as of one that hath a familiar spirit out of the ground, and thy speech shall whisper out of the dust. Who calls on the dust on their belly all the days of their life, as it is written in Daniel 12 to Satan? All right? And if you listen to him, and if you allow him to get into with the traditions of man, he says, you talk like somebody that's got a demon. Now, that's how serious God takes traditions of men, and that's why Jesus called on this, okay? Don't think I'm being over judgmental here. I'm not the judge. He that sent us here is. Moreover, the multitude of thy strangers shall be like small dust, and the multitude of the terrible one shall be as chaff that passeth away. Yea, it shall be at an instant suddenly. That's at his return at the second advent. It's going to happen. He's coming, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. The Lion of God, Ariel, he is returning. Thou shalt be visited of the Lord of hosts with thunder and with earthquake and great noise, with storm and tempest and the flame of a devouring fire. And of course, God is that devouring fire. You know, we just had a little, speaking of earthquakes, we just had about a 9-pointer plus. 200,000 lives gone because they weren't paying attention. Simple thing, a little 10-year-old girl studied in school about the earthquake and tidal waves and said to her family, we need to get out of here. They did, and they were saved. So it isn't that God doesn't give us knowledge and wisdom to save ourselves. It's that people do not listen to him. Greed, lust, and what have you, throws people off guard. Don't let it throw you off guard. We're talking about the end times here, even though we're in the Old Testament, and it is for this reason that Jesus quoted it. Verse 7, And the multitude of all the nations that fight against Ariel, that's to say Jesus Christ, let's be specific, even all that fight against her and her nation, and that redress her, shall be as a dream of a night vision. All those that want to be the enemy of the Lamb of God or the Lion of God, whichever you wish to call him, it's going to be like a bunch of people dreaming. Have you ever been real hungry, just really, really hungry, and dreamed you were eating a big steak, and when you woke up, what did it taste like, and how full was your tummy? That's what false religion will do for you, okay? You got it? Verse 8, It shall even be as when an hungry man dreameth, and behold, he eateth, but he awakeneth, and his soul is empty. Or as when a thirsty man dreameth, and behold, he drinketh, but he awakeneth, and behold, he is faint, and his soul hath appetite, so shall the multitude of all the nations be that fight against Mount Zion, that fight against my word, that try to make my word void. They're going to go to church, and they're going to have me on their lips, but they're going to be like a man dreaming, starving to death, and it's not going to do them any good for their tummy because they're without. Their soul is empty. Because they didn't stick to God's word. That's why Jesus sent you to this place. When it came to people playing church. Verse 9, stay yourselves and wonder. Cry ye out and cry, they are drunken, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. It's this in the Hebrew kind of misses it. Stupefy yourself and be stupid. Okay? That's what the spirit of stupor can do for you when you leave God out of the equation of your life. Verse 10. For the Lord has poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep. Stupor, you know? Have you ever looked at a bunch of people in a busy place that seem to have no destination and no life? They just, the sound will say, move to door two, and the whole bunch just move to door two, you know? I wonder what you'd say. Why are you moving to door two? The man said. Okay. But I'm saying you can look and see the stupa on people's faces of not understanding even why they're here, much less what they're doing. And hath closed your eyes, the prophets and your rulers, the seers, hath he covered. You're not going to get, if they're not teaching God's word, if God didn't send them, that's all you're going to get. You might as well dream about it and wake up empty. That's what it's going to amount to. Verse 11, and the vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, read this. Now I pray thee, and he saith, I cannot, for it is sealed. I mean, he can be seemingly a very good scholar, but when you ask him about the book of Revelations, he'll say, it's sealed. Even though the word revelation, in whatever language you want to translate it from, means to make known, to uncover. How can they get away with that? Well, because God made them just a little bit, I'll use a Hebrew word, sottish, okay, translated from the Hebrew, I should say. I'll be kind. I don't want to say stupid. Like he did earlier here. It's sealed. We can't read it. How many times in your life have you heard that? If you'll be honest with me, when you went to various churches and they would say, nobody's supposed to understand Revelation, it's sealed. Really? Well, because it has seven seals? That makes it all that much more interesting. Okay? Verse 12. And the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I'm not learned. Verse 13, wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth, this is where Jesus quoted from now, don't forget it, stay with me, and with their lips do honor me. They really talk a mean, goody-goody two-shoes or Christian, but have removed their heart, their mind far from me, for their fear or their reverence toward me is taught by the precept of men. Well, isn't that okay? What precept of men do you know that's held true? How many times have you ever known a man that didn't make a mistake? For all men make mistakes. You need to study the precept of God, not men. That's what gets you in trouble. That's why you can think you partook of a big steak and your soul is still going to be starved for this famine. As it's written in chapter 8 of the great book of Amos, minor prophets, the famine of the end times is not for bread, but for hearing the word of God. Chapter by chapter, verse by verse. 14, therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people. Even a marvelous work and a wonder, for the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. And do you know something? You have leaders in this nation today that from about the year 2000, we had an enemy force that moved in and brought down two huge towers. But you've got people elected to office in this country that try to blame it on their fellow officials. Not who did it. You know, that's kind of stupid. I don't know of any other word for it. Who did it? Well, the Al-Qaeda did. Well, then, end of story. Destroy them. That's how simple it is. But our leaders, no. They make long speeches blaming it on this person or that person in this nation. And they let the enemy fly the coop to remass and do it again if it were possible. Thank God we have some people that stay sharp, that are not stupid, such as you. Okay. Verse 15, woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark, and they say, who seeth us, or who knoweth us? Well, our Father knows us. Our Father knows even what you're thinking, okay? Surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as a potter's clay. For shall the work say to him that made it, he made me not? Or shall the thing framed say of him that framed it, he had no understanding? Do you understand that that's going on today? Do you understand that there are trials, court trials in this nation today trying to prove this? Saying, you know who the potter is? The potter is Almighty God. Okay. He formed our bodies. But there are people in courts today that even sued our president at his inauguration to not use the word God because he's an atheist. The potter doesn't exist. So wake up to the times. Understand what's going on. And you know something? Kind of we're allowing it. 50%, I think it's getting shorter than 50%. 35% of the people still believe politically correct is correct. Yeah. Not too many people are sucked in by that anymore. If somebody wrongs you, it is wrong, period. If somebody wrongs God, it is wrong, period. I don't care who it offends, and I don't care who might be, as they would say to Jesus, you don't understand. You offended them. And he might as well have said, I could care less. It's the truth that counts. And so it is today. Okay? Verse 17. Is it not yet a very little while, and Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be esteemed as forest? Christ is returning. And the cedars of Lebanon are symbolic of our people, always have been. That's why Satan wanted to be one. Ezekiel chapter 31, documenting. Verse 18, and in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. Truth is coming. The word that became flesh is returning to this earth and shall walk among us. And all bodies will be in spiritual bodies at that time. There will be no slowness of thought. You won't have to ask your neighbor if he knows God. 19. The meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord, the oppressed, that is to say. And the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. For the terrible one is brought to naught, and the scorner is consumed, and all that watch for iniquity are cut off. All that like to stay awake at night planning crime are not going to be with us. He's going to clean it up, okay? It's coming. And what a wonderful time that's going to be, beloved. Do you know who's going to do this? You read it and we say he's coming, but he's not coming until his enemies are made his footstool. Who do you think he's chosen to do that? To speak out against the false Messiah, as it's written in Mark 13. Think about it. That make a man an offender for a word and lay a snare for him that reproveth in the gate. That's to say a judge, okay? Lay a snare for judges, try to bribe them, and turn aside the just for a thing of naught. For it's just confusion. Just to, in general, bring mass confusion. Therefore, thus saith the Lord who redeemed Abraham concerning the house of Jacob. Jacob shall not now be ashamed, neither shall his face not wax pale. He's going to make it. You stay in the truth, and you'll never be ashamed. But when he seeth his children, the work of mine hands in the midst of him, they shall sanctify his name and sanctify the Holy One of Jacob and shall fear, or that is to say revere, reverence, the God of Israel. Why? He's right. He's correct. He is our Father. They also that erred in spirit shall come to understanding, and they that murmured shall learn doctrine. Not traditions of men, not false doctrine, but the doctrine of Jesus Christ, the doctrine that brings us success, the doctrine that you must stand by to have the force of God in your life. And that force is not imaginary, it is very real. There is a reason this nation is blessed. There is a reason that families are blessed. It's because the force of God is with them. It has not been made of non-effect because they don't listen to junk. They stick with truth. And our Father protects the base we have to work from. That is to say, Christians everywhere that do teach truth, God sees that that base and that legal authority is with us. If you're wiser than the serpent, some people are stupid and they let the serpent just chew them up. Got no sense whatsoever. Don't be like that. Be wiser than the serpent for the sake of God's word. It comes first. It's mighty. It's powerful. And it brings blessings. Okay, let's go to another. We've studied the words that make of non-effect the traditions of men. Turn with me real quickly to Galatians in the New Testament. Let's go, if we may, to chapter 3 in the great book of Galatians. I want to go to a place where the word kuro'o, which is the opposite of the other, it means to give force, to make authoritative, to ratify, or to validate. It means make it legal, make it all the way legal. And this is what Christ's word was. Let's see, let's pick it up at verse 16 of chapter 3. The great book of Galatians. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. God made them to him. He said not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one. And to thy seed, which is Christ. Do you understand? The promise is made ultimately to Christ, who would what? Be the sacrifice for all times. And in him your faith saves you. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after the Ten Commandments, cannot disannul, here's our word, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. That's what we came here. Cannot make it void, but rather makes it, cannot disannul it, and it cannot make the promise of non-effect. It's just the opposite. It gives it authority. It gives it force when you listen to him. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Man breaks laws. I got some bad news. Do you know that? That may be a surprise to some, but we do. But the promise overrides. And I'm not saying the law is bad. Don't misunderstand. Wherefore then, verse 19, wherefore then serveth the law? Now, why should we? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. How long? Till the seed should come who the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And doves of peace came as he was baptized and came forth, whereby he would pay the price that through the promise of forgiveness, man finds that perfection that justifies. Verse 20, now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. In other words, God gave the promise to Abraham. He didn't have a go-between. He did not need a go-between any more than God needs. Listen to me. This is important. Nor does God need a go-between between himself and you today. Okay? That's why the veil was rent on the Holy of Holies, that you, as a child of God, could walk right in, could talk to him. That's the promise. What a promise. What a father we have. 21. Is the law then against the promise of God? That's a question. God forbid it. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, very righteousness, verily righteousness should have been by the law. It would have come in through it, but hey, it didn't. There were still sinners. And I may have some bad news for you. There's still sinners today, okay? You know, you can... many times... I guess I was going to check and see if everybody was awake. I was going to say, if you're doing a patch job and you hit your thumb with a hammer, see if you have a sinner in the house. You know, but I won't do that. Because, in a sense, God forgives... people suffering in pain, okay, sometimes at outbreaks. 22. You all are still awake, aren't you? You're still with me. Good, great. But the Scripture has concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Do you believe? Then you've got the promise, beloved. Why? He loves you. Does that make the law bad? No, it doesn't. But it gives us salvation. Not, we can talk Christianity and the promise and forgiveness and love. Our Father loves us. 23. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed, unsealed, made known. 24, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto who? Christ, that we might be justified by faith. You're not going to be justified any other way, friend. Don't try to pull, you know, sometimes we get a legalist that it makes an appearance, okay? A legalist is one that wants to throw away the promise totally. It's amazing why people can't go with the word, okay? A legalist wants to throw away the promise totally, and usually you will hear them lead off, well, God expects a woman to do thus, thus, and thus. You know, that's the way you usually can spot them right away, you know. And men are supposed to rule. Okay. Well, I thought God was supposed to rule. Okay. But you get all kinds of strange things that happen. But we've got a schoolmaster. And that's what the law is for. You don't ever knock a schoolmaster. It's a way of teaching. We just finished doing the temple in the great book of the going out. That's to say Exodus. And what the temple, when you simplify what it stands for, how simple it is. It's simply approaching Christ, the promise. And he loves us. I suppose if one wonders, well, what about following, just not a thing, turn with me to 2 John, the second epistle of John, okay? The second epistle of John is just before Jude, which is just before the great book of Revelation. You're almost at the back of the book. And if you read the back of the book and it's still, you're all right, you're okay, all right? There is a warning given concerning following doctrine that is different than that Christ taught. Now, you have been studying this morning what Christ taught, and he even went to Isaiah 29 to show you what Ariel, the Lion of Judah, the Lion of God, would say concerning people at that time. Because you see, there's nothing new under the sun. Peoples is peoples, okay? But here in this teaching concerning doctrines, let's pick it up as we may with verse 5 in conclusion. Verse 5, the second epistle of John. And now I beseech you, lady. What lady is this? Go back to verse 1 and read it. Unto the elect lady of her children. That means God's election. Okay, so you know. And now I beseech you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment. Don't need one unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. Verse 6, and this is love, that we walk after his commandments, not men's, okay? This is the commandment that as ye have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. Don't try to change it. And be very leery of anybody that would try to. For, verse 7, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. In other words, they want to claim the antichrist is Christ, okay? He's the real one. Verse 8, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. You make sure you don't lose the power of the word. Don't you let somebody steal it. Don't you be robbed. Verse 9, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ. This is Christ's doctrine, not the doctrine of men. Got it? Zero in with me. Whosoever abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. Now, is that hard to figure out? If you go to some church and they're not teaching the doctrine of Christ, they don't have God there. You got it? It's that simple. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son, period. Now, here comes the danger, my friend, when you know better. Verse 10. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. Don't you even wish them well in their ministry? Why not? It's a fake. It's a lie. Do you know what the penalty is if you do? Verse 11. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. You become a part of it. That's not healthy. That robs you. That turns around and robs you of the force of God in your life. And things are going to start going wrong. Wrong, wrong, wrong. But you want the blessings of God through the doctrine that Jesus Christ brought. Well, what is so special about it? Well, it's nothing complicated. It is so very simple. Love your neighbor as yourself. And don't ever, ever, ever put any other doctrine or God before the God of our fathers. And you'll do just fine. Anytime that anyone gives you a doctrine that differs in any way whatsoever with really within the two statements I made were the statements of Christ, which was inclusive of all 10. 5 spiritual and 5 civil. In those you fulfill all. And that brings God's blessings. You know, It's a very serious thing in this generation. With what you hear and what you see, and there's nothing new under the sun. We still have the gospel. Our Father is the same yesterday, He is today, and He will be forever. Don't you ever let somebody bring you another gospel aside from the gospel of Christ. Heavenly Father, thank you, Father, for the word. Thank you, Father, for being servants, for it is a pleasure serving you, Father. Bless each of these and let them be a blessing to all they come in contact with. We ask it in Yeshua, Jesus' precious name. Amen.